Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is down there in Studio X. He will not allow the weather to become a distraction. He will get us through, come rain, shine, thunder, lightning, whatever it is. He's there for us. Dossett Big Four has been there for you for over 47 years. That's not just being part of the community, all right? That's a lot more than just that. You're not just a business at that point. You are a neighbor. Family run, three generations strong. If you are trying to find a new car or a pre-owned vehicle, our friends at Dossett Big Four have got what you're looking for. Visit them at 628 South Closter Street in Tupelo or at DossettBig4.com. From their family to yours for 47 years at Dossett Big Four. Massive, massive, massive baseball series coming up this weekend. Jacob Rudner is going to join us from Baseball America in about 13 minutes to give us a little bit of a preview and talk a little bit about the Baseball America the postseason bracket, the regional projections for them. It's just this simple. You guys who listen to this show a lot, you know that I'm a fan of America's greatest art form, professional wrestling. This is kind of a loser-leaves-town match. Mississippi State's currently 8th in the RPI. Auburn is currently 4th. They're both 14-10 in the SEC. The winner of this series is going to host not only a regional, but likely a super regional, and the loser is going to have trouble doing that. Auburn could maybe survive a series loss because they're so high in the RPI. Maybe they could drop to the 8th spot. But for State, if they don't win this series, they're unless they do something unusual, which is what, by the way, if you ever look at Warren Nolan's RPI, they'll do a projected RPI the rest of the season or predicted results. I don't know, man. He's got State losing this series but then sweeping Texas A&M on the road. I'll grant you, if that happens, State would probably still host the Super Regional, but I don't think that's going to happen. So this is a massive series. Starts tomorrow. All the games are nationally televised. 7 o'clock first pitch, 7:30 on Friday, and then 3 o'clock on Sunday. Mississippi State announcing its rotation earlier today. Tomas Valinkas will move up a day and go on Thursday. Duke Stone will move up a day and go on Friday. And then TBA makes his long-awaited return to Mississippi State baseball on Saturday. So to me, that means immediately that Charlie Foster is not going to be the guy, because if he was, they would just say it, right? That's at least logically what I'm going to conclude. So who's that guy going to be? Well, I think he got a couple of options, but I will say I think that whatever you can do, you're looking at more like an opener. Maybe somebody can get you two trips through the order, and then you got to consider making moves. I think the first name to throw out is the freshman Jack Bauer. Kind of proven over these past few weeks that he can be reliable. Was really good against Georgia, was really good against LSU, and then was good this past weekend against Texas. I think he's earned the opportunity at this point. Now, can he throw more than 50 or 60 pitches? That's your question, right? I think if you could get Jack Bauer into the fourth inning, if he could get you through four innings, I think you'd feel really good about that. And let's not act like Charlie Foster has been going deep into games. I think four innings out of Bauer and then turn it over to what you've got left in the bullpen, it's going to be more about how you manage your bullpen ahead of that. Valinkas needs to give you six or seven innings. Stone needs to give you six innings. And for Stone, that means keeping his pitch count under 90. He's got to be efficient. He's got to be able to get out of innings. When he gets around 90 pitches, that's usually when the wheels kind of fall off for him a little bit. He's great through 90, but after that, he has struggled this year. Valinkas, you know, I feel comfortable getting 100 pitches, but man, I'm kind of surprised, by the way. I really thought State might go Valinkas Friday, Saturday, Stone, and then TBA it on Thursday, especially with Auburn moving their rotation around a little bit and their Saturday guy is going on Friday. On Thursday. I really did think they might do that, but they did. They didn't. So be it. State's, you know, bullpen has been good. It kept them in the games at LSU. It kept them in the game. It did a good job on Saturday. And really, you know, you look at the Friday game last week against Texas. They only scored one run. They didn't lose that game because of pitching. When you lose a game 3-1, it wasn't your pitching staff's fault. You know, although I guess you could play the Bob Shoup game that we've talked about a few times where, well, you know, should have not given up those three runs. Should have won 1-0. I wouldn't go that far, though. This Auburn team is really good. They're a very complete baseball team. They hit the ball well. They are an elite pitching staff. And I don't think if you're a Mississippi State fan, I'm telling you anything by telling you that Butch Thompson has put together an outstanding pitching team. A lot of their RPI is built on the fact that they don't play a lot of weak games. They have played as many quad three and quad four opponents combined as Mississippi State has just played quad four. Only 15 games are not impressive wins, right? They have 12 quad one wins. They're 6-3 against quad two, 12-11 against quad one. They've just been really good this year from start to finish. How many series have they lost? I know they lost the series to Texas. They got swept by Alabama, but since then they took 2 out of 3 from Arkansas, 2 out of 3 from Kentucky, 2 out of 3 from Florida, 2 out of 3 from Oklahoma, and 2 out of 3 from Texas A&M. So they've been really, really consistent, really good baseball team over the past few weeks. And I think they are just as aware as Mississippi State is that this is almost like a postseason feel for this one. You got two top 10 teams. It has the feel of a super regional. It does feel like the winner will advance and the loser is going to be in trouble. You know, the difference is obviously the season's not over for you, but your chances of being a top 8 seed probably are. Now, State, I feel like the Starkville regional is pretty safe unless State just completely tanks these last 2 weeks, which I don't think they will. But I think for sure you're going to have some postseason baseball in Starkville this year. It's just a question of, do you have 2 weekends of it, or do you have, 3 weekends, or I'm sorry, 1 weekend of it. D1 baseball had their regional projections as well, and they had State as the 10 seed, which means kind of hold what we're talking about here, right? That they're on the precipice, they're right there on the edge. If they can win some games, they can move into the top 8. They had them as the 10 seed, matched up with the Lawrence, Kansas regional. The Kansas Jayhawks are your likely Big 12 champions. I don't know that they're going to be a top 8 seed. I don't think just because they're a Power 4 champion that you just give them a top 8 seed. I think there are more deserving teams in front of them. But regardless, I think if you're a Mississippi State fan, you would take that right now. If I told you State is going to host a regional, and then worst case scenario is they go on the road to Lawrence, Kansas, to a stadium that I think holds maybe 2,000 people, you would feel really good about your chances in that scenario. State last weekend, you know, you have to look at it from this perspective. You know, yes, it was disappointing to lose 2 out of 3 last weekend. But if you look at the whole week, you win the Governor's Cup, you win a neutral site game against a good Ole Miss team, you're 4-0 against that team. Those wins are doing a ton of heavy lifting on your resume. And then you go on the road to the number three team in the country, and you dropped 2 out of 3. You didn't get swept. You got the win that you needed. A 2-2 week with those games, perfectly acceptable. I think if we go back and we tell everybody on Monday, this has been State's issue all year, is if I tell you on Monday this is what they did, you'd be like, okay, I can live with that. That's not that bad. They didn't get swept on the road, and they beat Ole Miss. You'll take that. But then you watch the games, and you see that State has opportunities to win these games. I mean, they were up 5-0. Early on Texas on Sunday. They only gave up, you know, 5 hits to Texas on Friday. You would say, gosh, they had an opportunity to win all 4. And they did. But still. So you have to take what you can get. I don't have a problem with the way State played. Doesn't matter who pitches if you win the first two. You're correct about that. If State can somehow go out and get the Thursday and Friday games, then throw whoever you want. It's just gravy at that point. But you would be greedy. You would want the sweep. A sweep of Auburn would almost lock you in. Assuming you don't get swept by Texas A&M, which I don't think they will. Winning three games this week would almost certainly have Mississippi State in the top eight and hosting a super regional. You know, assuming they win their regional. I like State's chances in the regional, too, to be honest with you. And, of course, you know, the X factor in all this is Ryan McPherson. Had somebody tell me today, like, there's a whisper on the air that we could see Ryan McPherson this weekend. We talked to O'Connor on Monday. He said for sure he wasn't going to throw last night, which he didn't, and nor should he have in a game against Nichols that State didn't have to do very much to win. They destroyed that team last night. But there's a little breeze out there that says that McPherson could make an appearance this weekend. Wouldn't expect him for more than an inning. Wouldn't expect him for maybe more than 20 pitches. But we'll see if that happens. If that happens and you can get him back and start ramping him back up, State's going to be in a good spot come postseason play if they can get their former Friday night starter back into things. All right, when we come back, so we'll stay on baseball with Jacob Rudner from Baseball America. We'll talk about his regional projections and his thoughts on this weekend series with Auburn. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. We're just getting started.
America's 250.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
All right, back here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Our good friend Jacob Rudner is on the phone with us from Baseball America. And Jacob, I don't know if you're a fan of America's greatest art form, professional wrestling, as I am, but I described this weekend's matchup with Auburn between Mississippi State and Auburn as a loser leaves town match. The winner of this is almost certainly going to host a super regional. The loser will have a tough time doing that. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I think that this is a hugely important weekend. I think that with where both of those teams are at right now, I'm willing to buy stock in both, regardless of who wins and loses it. I think if you're Mississippi State, though, because the rankings are so close, Mississippi State is a top 10 team, Auburn is now a top 5 team, I think that the expectation is fair for Mississippi State to try and get 2 out of 3 here. I know that it's against a higher-ranked team. You don't always want to try and put that pressure on the rankings. Technically, if they're done perfectly, should always have the higher-ranked team beating the lower-ranked team. But I think if you're Mississippi State and you want to prove that you can make a deep run in the tournament, this is the series to win. For Auburn, you know, the situation is obvious. When you're a top-5 team, the expectation is that you win no matter where you go. I do think that that will go a long way in kind of reinforcing what we think about Auburn and just how good they are. But if they leave Starkville losers of 2 of 3, I actually feel pretty good about both of these teams having a really deep run. But for Mississippi State, an opportunity for a really big statement here.
So let's talk a little bit about Auburn, and we'll tell our listeners about them. They are just, they're just a good team. I mean, if you said describe Auburn, they're just a good team. They pitch well. They hit well. They're good enough defensively. They're well coached, and they're consistent. There's a lot to like about this Auburn team. What do you like the most?
Yeah, I mean, I it's hard to say anything but the pitching in terms of what I like the most. This is a team that's going to throw a lot of strikes at a rate that teams really don't do in college. We're seeing that a little bit with UCLA, which is a very mature West Coast style pitching in that they are going to be around the zone a little bit more than some of these very stuff heavy teams. Auburn, what makes them special, in my opinion, is that they are very good around the strike zone, but it is with that premium stuff. It's with that SEC caliber pitching that we've become accustomed to in the last couple of years. They've got a couple of different guys who come out of the bullpen, some of the rotation. Jake Marciano comes to mind, the left-hander in particular, who are just truly dominant. And so if you are going to beat Auburn, it is probably not going to come in very high scoring games. You do need to be able to hang to at least a degree with their pitching, and that's how they're going to challenge teams like Mississippi State. Can Mississippi State this weekend throw enough strikes, keep Auburn off the board enough to be able to make room for its offense to get the job done? It's not going to be, you know, blowouts, or at least it shouldn't be. On paper, it shouldn't be blowouts this weekend. These should be close games that are very hard fought. That's what Auburn does to teams. That's the game that they want to play.
Yeah, I've been saying it all week. No Mississippi State fan is going to be surprised that Butch Thompson has a team that can pitch the baseball by any imagination. I got your bracket pulled up, your regional projections. You've got the Starkville regional set up with Mississippi State as the 11 seed, West Virginia as the 2 seed there, East Carolina, and then Army as the 4 seed, paired with the Athens regional in Georgia. I don't think Mississippi State fans would necessarily like that matchup after what happened in Starkville. So State is the 11 right now. I guess my question would be, what would they have to do to not host at this point? It feels like as long as they get a couple of more wins, for sure they'll host at least a regional. They may go down to 14, 15, 16, but it feels like the Starkville regional is pretty safe.
Yeah, I would say at this point it's pretty safe. I think that you want to win one of these two remaining series to feel great. Like, if you want to go into Selection Monday, or when they announce the seeding, you know, a day earlier, the top 16 national seeds, I think you want to go into that feeling amazing. You want to win one of these two series here. The home series against Auburn seems like the best opportunity. If you can get either of them, you're in that great spot. You can go into the announcement of the host feeling very good if you're a Mississippi State fan. Where things get maybe a little bit hairy is if one of these two series turns into a sweep. If Mississippi State gets swept, I think that could change the complexion of things. The RPI is in a really good spot. They're number 8 right now. But at 14-10 in the SEC, is there a world in which you get swept and then you only win one game in the other series and you're 15-15 and things look a little bit more sketchy when it comes to getting a seed spot? Maybe. That 15-15 line is where things kind of get frisky if the RPI isn't in a really good spot. Now, what saves Mississippi State in the event that it does end up 500 in conference is that these aren't really series that are going to be damaging for the RPI. Like, if you had Vanderbilt schedule to end the year, Missouri and South Carolina, and you lose one of those series, or even if you drop a game, that has a chance to be really impactful. But we're talking about series here against a top 5 team in public polls, number 4 in RPI being Auburn, and then Texas A&M, another team that's right around the top 10, basically in any public poll, and 11th in RPI, and it's on the road as well. So I would say pretty safe right now, pretty much regardless of what happens. Is there a disaster outcome still in there a little bit because of the conference record? Sure, but I don't see that as being very likely.
Wanted to hit up a couple of SEC questions for you, and you just mentioned Vanderbilt. So Vanderbilt currently in the RPI is 68. Normally, that would be a situation where you would say absolutely zero chance they're in the postseason play. They're 10-14 in SEC play. Their last two series are at Missouri, and then they host South Carolina. There's a really good chance they're going to be 15-15 or maybe even 16-14. And that, to my knowledge, has never been left out of the NCAA tournament. So something's got to give here, Jacob. Does Vandy's RPI, is it too poor to get them in? Or are they just going to look at the conference wins and say, no, they have to go in?
Yeah, that is the big money question right now. And as a bracketologist, it's the thing that gives me heartburn when I lay down in bed at night. This is a really tough one. We've never seen a situation like this before. There's a number of different historical markers that I think are important. You said one of them. Teams that are over 500 in the SEC or even 500 in the SEC, they don't miss the tournament, period. There's precedent for that. Now, there is some situation as well for teams that are under 500 in the SEC in the last couple of years. If you go back to the last three tournaments, that's 2023, 24, and 25, no 13-win SEC team has missed the field of 64. So you can be a couple of games under 500 and still make the tournament in the SEC right now. Where this gets interesting, though, the last team to miss the tournament, 13 wins in the SEC, was 2022 South Carolina. Mm-hmm. That team ended in the RPI outside the top 70. The committee said no. So you combine those two things. Clearly the RPI matters because South Carolina didn't get in that year. That was 4 years ago. But so do the wins and losses because no 500 SEC team has missed the tournament. And it leaves us in this spot where we have to pick one of the two paths. For us at Baseball America, we picked in. We don't think that the committee will go back on this very long-standing precedent of if you get to 500 in the most challenging league in the country, you're in the tournament. We think that that's where they go. Could they go the other way? Could that be where Baseball America is wrong at the end of the day? It's very possible. And like I said, that is why it keeps me up at night, because I really am unsure about this when we've never seen this before.
So you've got West Virginia as the 2 seed in Starkville. I keep telling people, when I think of West Virginia, I cannot get that 23-1 loss they had to Pitt out of my head. I'm sure that's a really good baseball team. if you're Mississippi State and you're in that 11, 10, maybe even the 8 or 9 range, who's the 2 seed you don't want to see?
That's a good question. I think that West Virginia is up there on the list. The team, though, out of the Big 12 that would scare me the most right now is Cincinnati. I think that Cincinnati does a lot of things really well, kind of like what Arizona State does. They've got an offense that's going to put the ball over the yard. They've got a first baseman, Quinton Coates, who is a All-American, almost no doubt All-American. He's one of the national leaders in home runs. He's on base all the time. They've got that juggernaut piece to their offense. They've got a couple of pitchers who are really talented. We haven't necessarily seen them do that every night, but when they've been good, Cincinnati has been very tough to beat. They're going to get to the NCAA tournament probably at 16 wins in the Big 12, and if they do that, 17 wins in the Big 12. If they do that, I think that's a team that's a no-doubt 2-seed, probably a very high one at that. They're ranked nicely in RPI right now. And I think that that's the kind of team that ends up being a real headache. Do I think that there are ways to beat them? Yes. If you can get them to not be around the strike zone, which has been an issue for them at times, if you can get on their fastballs, which has been a major issue for them at times, that is a very beatable team. But the upside for Cincinnati this year that I've seen so far would be something that I'd be very weary of as a host.
Do you think Jacob Parker should be SEC Freshman of the Year?
I think he's on the list. We've still got games to play, and at Baseball America, we do take into consideration some, you know, SEC tournament will matter. We do talk to scouts and try and factor in their opinions as well. So there's kind of a pro upside element to this. All of those things are boxes that he obviously checks. So he's on that list right now. Do I think that it's him today? Maybe, but I also don't have a pick at the moment right now. I think that there are a couple of leaders. He's one of them. I think Nico Partita, Texas A&M, is on that list. I think that Texas outfielder Anthony Pack Jr. is very much on that list. Sam Cozart, the Texas closer, very much like Dylan Volantis, who won it last year, has been elite for them at the back end so far. So there are a number of SEC freshmen who are really making strong cases right now, which is kind of what makes this fun. But to answer the question, yeah, he's definitely one of the front runners that are on there and somebody who will gain consideration until the last day.
Jacob Rudner, Baseball America, appreciate your time. Jacob, I do have a message for you from Coach Christian Ostrander down at Southern Mississippi. He didn't necessarily tell me to tell you this, but when you're predicting the Hattiesburg Regional, just put an SEC team as the 2-seed. You know it's going to happen.
I will write that down. We will see what happens.
Absolutely. Jacob, appreciate your time, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Jacob Rudner, Baseball America. Good stuff from him as we get closer and closer to postseason play. The Starkville Regional, it's been too long since we've been able to say those words, but it gets closer. It looks like we're going to have one of those in just a few weeks. We'll talk some more baseball when we come back, maybe some football. It's Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi.
For a flipping good time.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
All right, back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. If you want to join the show, you can do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We are presented by Dawson Big Four, who want to remind you again that they've been in North Mississippi and Tupelo for 47 years. That makes them a lot more than just a business. They are a neighbor. They are a part of the community in Tupelo. If you're looking for a new car, there's only one place you need to go if you're in the North Mississippi area. Or, heck, it's worth traveling to see my friends at Dots at Big Four in Tupelo. Let's just look at the RPI real quick. Mississippi State currently eighth in the RPI. I've been hammering this point for a few weeks now, and we'll just go through it again. When you look at the top eight, UCLA won. They're 44-4 on the season. It's hard to believe that Mississippi State was an incorrect strike three call away from beating that team, but they absolutely were. Georgia Tech is two. Yellow Jackets are very good. This is not the year for the Richard Cross, Charmin soft Yellow Jackets from Georgia Tech, I don't think. Texas is three, Auburn four, Alabama five, North Carolina six, and Florida State seven. Then you have Mississippi State eight. What's interesting is Alabama, who lost last night to Troy, that was not a good loss for the Crimson Tide. Every regional projection I have seen with Alabama has them as a
right side of the bracket projection as a 9 or lower seed. In fact, both brackets this week had them paired with Auburn. I think Baseball America had had Alabama as the 13 seed to Auburn's 4, and D1 had them as the 11 to Auburn's 6. Florida State is another team that is basically on the other side of the bracket as well. So what I'm saying is, of the 8 teams in the top 8 RPI teams, 2 of them are not likely to be top 8 seeds when this is all said and done. You're seeing a team like Kansas, who's currently 15th in the RPI. They're going to be a top 6 seed. Georgia is an interesting study. If I'd had more time, I would have asked Jacob about them. But they're 16th in the RPI, but they're also leading the SEC, and they're the number 3 team in the nation, and they're certainly going to host a super regional. You've seen Coastal Carolina on the left side of the bracket a few times. They're currently 22 in the RPI, 19-5 in the Sun Belt, 33-15 overall. They lost to Clemson last night, and that tumped them 5 spots. Texas A&M is another team I've seen on the left side of the bracket. They're currently 11th. Texas A&M, last night's game for the Aggies, is something that's going to be, I think baseball teams are going to have to reconsider the way they schedule. Last night they played Prairie View, who's currently 302 in the RPI. In case you're wondering, there are, I'm pretty sure it's 305, 308 teams. So Prairie View is the 6th worst team in college baseball. They are 8-35 on the season. Texas A&M beat them 16-7, but their RPI dropped 3 spots as a result of that win. And I just think, you know, we talked about it on Sports Talk, Ole Miss has this issue coming up next week where they're going to play UT Martin on Tuesday. UT Martin currently 234 in the RPI. That's going to ding Ole Miss's RPI in a situation where they are battling to try to host. Both bracket projections this week had Ole Miss on the road. Baseball America had Ole Miss in Corvallis. D1 Baseball had them in Hattiesburg. I will almost be willing to bet my firstborn child that if Ole Miss is not going to host, they will go to Hattiesburg. Yeah, I just feel very confident in that. But teams have got to reconsider the way they schedule, I think, because you're hurting yourself. Last night, Mississippi State played Nicholls State, 134 in the RPI. Not a great win, but at least it wasn't enough to tank them. If State had been playing a team like Alcorn or Jackson State or Grambling, who they played earlier in the season, they would be out of the top 8 in RPI right now. State has 15 quad 4 wins. I mean, you got to find a way to cut that number down. And I don't mean by losses. I mean, you got to schedule fewer games. You got to schedule more quad 2, quad 3 games. You know, you think about home games. A quad 2 home game is a team that's between 26-50 in the RPI, but you can also go 61-120 if you go away. So if you're Mississippi State, doesn't it kind of make sense to find a way to play at some of these teams that are lower RPI? Play a road game with Louisiana Tech, 73 in the RPI. You'll beat them. You should be able to beat them, and it's a quad 2 win. Play a game against, try to find a couple of more here that are at least, you know, close by. Samford is 92. They played them in Starkville. Play them in Birmingham. Maybe you can set up a neutral site kind of game at Regions Field. I don't know, but that makes more sense than playing 3 SWAC teams in there. You could play a team like Arkansas Little Rock. You could go to them. I'm not saying Memphis. Memphis is currently 111 in the RPI. That's good news for Ole Miss, who lost at Memphis. It remains a quad 2 loss for them. But that could have been a quad 2 win for Mississippi State if they just gone to Memphis. And I'm not saying you got to play all of your games on the road. I'm just saying you got to find better games. You shouldn't have 15 quad 4 games. If State had, instead of 15 quad 4 wins, if they had 10 and they had 5 more quad 2 or quad 3 wins, they would probably be 6th or 7th, and we wouldn't be having – the pressure wouldn't be as great. It would still be on, but it wouldn't be great. Someone says, I bet they canceled the Ole Miss game. I bet they do too. But that's not fair. Like, UT Martin expects to play that game. It's not their fault. It's Ole Miss's fault. They should just know better. You really should. I think Christian Ostrander has it correct. He talked about it with us on Monday. doesn't schedule non-conference games these last 2 weeks. Get it all out of the way, and then you can focus on your conference games. It can help you. Is it possible if USM keeps losing gimme games and doesn't place, is it possible Southern Miss plays in Mississippi State's regional? Okay, I see what you're getting at now. They would have to lose these games. I mean, they have six games remaining. They're against lower RPI teams. If they were to go 3-3 or something like that, maybe even 4-2, they could be in trouble. But I just have trouble seeing Southern lose those games. But if USM, yeah, if they finish 3-3 in the Sun Belt, there's a chance that they are the 2 seed in the Starkville Regional, something like that. Or if Ole Miss were to continue to win, they could be in the Oxford Regional. Ole Miss State and Southern are all in the same boat right now. If they just win their games, they're going to host. If State is 4-2 in their last 2 series, they will be a super regional host. If they're 3-3, they have a chance to be a super regional host. If they're 2-4 or worse, they're not. They may host, but they're not going to be on the right side. And I think Jacob is correct in that if they really fall apart here, they could be in trouble at 15-15. Ole Miss has 2 series. They're at home against Texas A&M, then they're at Alabama. If they can win both series, they're going to host. If they're 3-3, it might be really tight. They could still host, but it'd be tight. Anything under that, they're not going to host. Simple as that. So their Mississippi is kind of different in that they play low RPI teams. So they need to be 5-1 probably at worst. But if they're 5-1, they're going to host. If they're 4-2, it might get a little dicey for them. But by and large, that's where they are. LSU would go to Hattiesburg if they make it. They're not going, Marty. Just get this dream out of your system. Start thinking about Lane Kiffin and Sam Levitt. It's just not going to happen. LSU is not going to win enough games. LSU is currently, what is LSU in the conference right now? Do they have 10 wins? They're 9-15, all right? They are not going to get, and their RPI is 55. They play Georgia. They're at Georgia this weekend. They're going to get swept. They're going to get swept. And then they play Florida at home, and Florida's going to be on the battle trying to host. It's just not going to happen. Let's stop. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. This is just not the year. Move on to next year. It's going to be okay. So for Mississippi State, as I've been saying, it's just a matter of handling your business. You know, they did what they had to do last weekend. You know, believe it or not, just getting the one win at Texas was the minimum, and they got there. Would have been great to have won another game. It would have put them in a situation where they had a little more leg room to work with, but they don't. But getting the one win and getting the win, don't underestimate how important the Governor's Cup was for Mississippi State. That's a quad one win. You're 4-0 against Ole Miss. You have 9 quad one wins on the season. 4 of them are against Ole Miss. Your other, I bet I can think of them. Your other 4 would be what? You got a win at Arkansas. You have a win at Texas. That's 6. And then you have, I think, Arizona State being a neutral site game. And Virginia Tech is 36 in the RPI right this second. That's a quad one win for you. And then Arizona State is 40 in the RPI. That's a quad one win. Neutral site games 1-40. So that's an interesting point for State. They need Arizona State to kind of stay there. They don't want them losing too many games because it would drop down to a quad two win. But, of course, State has an opportunity to pick up 3 quad one wins this weekend. All quads. Just something there. What if they don't win a few games? Well, I guess we'll talk about it. But they're not going to. I mean, you've watched this team play all year, Marty. You know they don't have it. So, when do you think McPherson will make his return? As I mentioned a little earlier in the show, there's some whispers that it might be this weekend, but I think for sure, if he's not pitching by the end of next week, if they don't have him going in the Texas A&M series, I don't know. That would be really weird. O'Connor has said a couple times they think he'll be back by the end of the regular season. We're here. This is the end of the regular season, so we'll see. We'll wrap it up when we come back. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi with you here on a Wednesday.
Hello.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Woo! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
All right, let's wrap it up here with you on a Wednesday night, Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino has done everything a man can do to keep us this course on track, keep this ship sailing in the right direction. I applaud him. He's done it again. Let's stay on the text line. We got some good questions here. Somebody asked about Ben Davis's status. So when we talked to O'Connor on Monday, he said back tightness. They just got to evaluate him. Maybe I'm wrong here, but I got to think like a 20-year-old kid, some back tightness, you know, you get him into training, he should be okay. So I guess we'll see. You know, don't know for sure, but I would be surprised if he didn't pitch this weekend. I mean, I can't imagine back tightness is something that plagues an athlete for a week like that. So we'll see. Got to have him, though. He's a very valuable piece to what Mississippi State is doing. Would it be awesome if State gets to play Ole Miss in the tournament and win? So to play Ole Miss in the tournament, obviously, you can't have them in the regional because you can't have two conference teams in the same regional. So you'd have to have Ole Miss across from Mississippi State. I don't think if Ole Miss gets to host, I don't think State would be high enough to have the Ole Miss regional on the other side from them. So what I'm saying is I don't think State's going to be like the fourth. Ole Miss, if they host, is probably going to be like the 14, the 13, maybe the 12, and I don't think State's going to be the 3, 4, or 5 seed. So the only way this happens is Ole Miss doesn't host, but they're the 2 seed in whatever regional is paired with Mississippi State. And again, that seems kind of unlikely because Ole Miss would be a very high 2 seed. So that seems unlikely. It'd be great. We've been waiting for it for quite a while to finally get the Ole Miss, to get Mississippi State Super Regional. I think you would also take a Mississippi State Southern Mississippi Super Regional. But again, I don't think State's going to be seeded high enough to get to where the Hattiesburg Regional is. Yeah, the Hattiesburg Regional this week was the 14 baseball. There were 14 in Baseball America and 11 in D1. I just don't see that happening. So the SEC tournament. Oh, well, whatever. At the SEC tournament, I'm a big fan of the SEC tournament being irrelevant. I like to start SEC tournament week with Mississippi State locked into whatever they're doing. You know, the way that State handled it in 2021, perfect. Run ruled, 2 games, get out of there, go home. So, I mean, not to say that it wasn't fun a couple years ago when State walked them off, but I would prefer not to be to have to worry about it. What would be awesome is LSU coming to Starkville to Super Regional. Yeah, you're right, Marty. It absolutely would be awesome. It would also be awesome for State to play in the Sugar Bowl. Yeah, that would be fantastic. While we're thinking up dream scenarios that aren't going to happen here, just calm down over there in Oregon. You know, this team, you've watched this LSU team all year, and you're going to try to convince me, coming off of the fact that you took 2 out of 3 from miserable South Carolina, that you're somehow going to make a run here when your last 2 series are against top 15 teams. Just stop. Stop. Being out on the West Coast has poisoned your brain. You know better than this. The McPherson piece of this, Denny and Flowood is who asked about it. It's just so interesting. Because like, if he can come back, if you could tell me that by regional week, so, you know, that would be 4 weekends from now, that McPherson could be able to give you 4 or 5, maybe 6 innings. And look, speaking as a non-baseball player, I don't know how you ramp those guys up. Like, can he go an inning this week, 2 innings next week, 3 innings in the SEC tournament, and then he's good to go? I don't know the answer to that. But I do feel like, oh, LSU swept South Carolina. Never mind. I changed everything. I just changed my entire prediction. They swept South Carolina. I don't know what that timeline looks like. It's because I don't have familiarity with it. But that's a difference maker. You know, State gets McPherson back. They can, and then you're talking about they got McPherson and Valinkis and Stone. Those guys are really, really good. And the emergence of Jack Bauer. Ben Davis, you know what you're getting with him. Maddox Webb, you kind of know what you're getting. Maddox Miller, I feel, has been really good for State this year. Duke Stone has been a great piece. You got enough pieces that even in the loser's bracket, you're not out of it. But in the winner's bracket, you're going to be really, really tough to beat. So it just feels good to talk about the Starkville Regional, right? We haven't been able to do it since 2021. You know, 2022 and 2023, at this point, it was like, are they going to fire him? Like, this is miserable. You can't go on like this. 2024, we were talking about the Starkville Regional, but State was on the bubble the whole time, much more so than they are this year. And then last year, obviously, you know, this was the point in the season. Gosh, you know, this is where they took two out of three from Ole Miss, and it became possible for them to make the postseason. You know, they won eight of their last nine SEC games under Justin Parker after they fired Lemonis. So it's just good to feel a little bit back in it this year. I'm enjoying it. I hope you guys are too. All right, tomorrow, Super Talk Mississippi, Sports Talk Mississippi will be live in Philadelphia for the Feeding the Hungry initiative between the Mississippi Food Initiative and Mississippi Farm Bureau. I mean, some great people out there doing great work in Philadelphia at Pearl River Resort. We're looking forward to being there. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.